Chapter number 9 again. It is not my plan to keep you along. That's literally all my notes right there. And that sometimes means absolutely nothing, I know. But it's my plan not to be long tonight, that we might be able to get to fellowship. And as I thought about harvest, I was just drawn to this passage of Scripture, to Matthew chapter 9. I look back to see when the last time I might have addressed this passage of Scripture. I do know we have Matthew 9:38 right there on our wall, and it has certainly been challenged to be the prayer of our church, but I've actually never taken time to preach this passage from the pulpit here, albeit that is a one prayer that we do have here in our church, that the Lord would send forth laborers into His harvest. And I just wanted to look at that for a few moments and just consider a few thoughts as we kind of celebrate a time of harvest. That's where we're at in our time of the year, and should be a time of great joy. That's what harvest is a joyous time. It is the end of, the Bible says, an end of a thing is better than the beginning. And certainly if you've ever spent time in planting or in hard labor to see a crop come forward, you would know the truth of that statement. The reality is my dad let us learn a little bit about wheat farming as we were growing up, and that's a lot of work. My mom every year always had to, I think her goal was to have the biggest garden in the county every year. That was her her life's goal. I don't know that it was ever done, but I know she tried. And we joke about it now, but it was no joke. If we got caught fighting, complaining, and we learned early, don't ever tell mom you're bored. You'll be out in the garden pulling weeds. You'll be out doing something in the garden, and that was just the way she helped to train us. I found myself here just the other day. The kids were I was outside doing some work there at the house. We were getting some things done, and Rochelle had to run to town, and I walked in, and the kids were supposed to be doing schoolwork quietly, you know, there at around the table, and there was just a big fight and commotion going on when I walked in. I said, "Everybody out." And we went out, and I said, "If you got energy to fight, we got energy to work." And so mom got home, and she wasn't happy that everybody was outside working, but they soon went in and got their schoolwork done, praise the Lord. And so we'd understand this, that when we talk about harvest, we're talking about the culmination of labors. That's what it is. It is a culmination of labors. And there it does bring joy. I know we live in a day where everybody wants something for free, and people are more interested in the handout they're going to get from the government. But the Word of God is still true. Men that don't work should not eat. And there is, I'm telling you, there's joy. Kids, understand, you need to learn the joy of hard work. And there is joy in hard work. There's reward in hard work. And there is definitely be something to be, if you will, proud of oneself when you know you've worked for what you have. When I graduated high school, I had 3 point something. I just barely over a 3.0, barely over a B average. And when I graduated college, I had over a 3.6 average in college. And my mom said, "Why in the world did you get better grades in college than you did in high school?" And I said, "Mom, I was paying for my classes in college. You know, it didn't cost, high school didn't cost me anything. College was costing me, and I didn't want to take any of those classes over." And there is definitely an effort, more effort that was going forth on my behalf in there. And when a great effort goes forth, there's great gratitude in what is earned. When you know what you paid, that's I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I am a little bit rambling. We'll get to the point, but a part of the problem of our nation is that we have a couple generations now that have paid for nothing, and because they've paid for nothing, they do not even appreciate the sacrifice of the past that was given. And it's definitely a problem. I'm telling you, you need to learn to work that you might be able to have a greater appreciation of the harvest. And so when we look at Matthew in chapter number 9, look at verse number 36. The Bible says this, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." If we're to take the time to go back in the beginning chapters, I mean back to chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, you'd find that multitudes had been following after Christ, and Christ had been teaching multitudes, 5, 6, 7, the Sermons on the Mount, 7, 8, 9, 8 and 9 now, we see the ministry of Christ really unfolding as just He goes to individual after individual, as He travels from town to town and is ministering to the needs of people, the blind, the sick, the lame. That's what you'd read in chapters 8 and 9, is Christ healing one person after another. And as He does these healings, He sees more and more that people are drawn unto Him and that people are following after Him. If you can get this in your mind, that the multitudes are just growing larger and larger and larger. We understand that not every one of them were following for the right reason, and that's very much played out later on throughout the Gospels, and that's very much a sad reality that they were following simply for the miracles. But the reality is this, that the multitudes were there, and the reason they were there is stated later on, and Christ had compassion on them, and then the latter part of the verse, why He had compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. There was no one to lead them. There was no one to guide them. A great little read to grab a hold of and look at is a shepherd's view of the 23rd Psalm. And he describes the work of the shepherd. He describes the need of the sheep. And the reality is this, that sheep, if left to themselves, and sheep if just left alone, are hopeless and very much a harm to themselves if there is not someone there to lead them. And that's how he saw these multitudes as one that had need of someone to come and lead them. And Christ takes this this flock of people that need someone, and He is very much trying to teach His disciples. And this is not the only passage of Scripture that He tries to teach His disciples with. The idea of the harvest that is needed among men. In John in chapter 4, Christ once again uses this analogy of the harvest. And in John in chapter 34, as He looked on the multitude, He was in Samaria, and as He looked on the multitude of people that was coming out unto Him, He looked at His disciples and He said, the harvest truly is, I'm going to get it wrong. let me look over there. John chapter 4, verse 35, and John 4:35. Say ye not there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. That took place later on in Samaria as Christ was trying to work with His disciples. Understand the idea of there being a white already unto harvest bears with it the fact that the people had been drained of all that was valuable. They were very much in need, and there was a great need. It was not just time to get out and take advantage of the harvest. It had gotten past time for the harvest when and I know I've shared this before, but I think it's important for us to remember when you look at a field, when you look at wheat, it's ready to harvest when it's golden. That's what wheat is. When it's golden, it's ready to be taken out of the field. The golden color of the wheat would be an indication of a high protein that's there. And when you go to a co-op, when you harvest your field and you get it into a large truck and you'd take it into the co-op and you'd sell it there at the co-op. I loved, one of my favorite things to do is ride in the big trucks to the co-op, and there'd be this little electronic arm. And I mean, I just thought it was like Star Wars or something, you know, just this little electronic arm would just come out and it would stick a tube down in the back of the truck, and they'd suck up a portion of the wheat, and they would test the wheat for its protein. And the value of the wheat was based upon its protein. And wheat that is white is wheat that has been left in the field chilled too long, the protein has washed out of it. The value of it has dropped dramatically. But understand with me, even in that position and even in that state where those people in John chapter 4, as Samaritans to the Jews, they were literally worthless. They weren't valuable at all. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, no. There's still value enough to get out in the field and to harvest what is there. And I'm telling you, as God looks at the multitude, this idea of the harvest that's there was something that was very much a motivation in his teaching to his disciples. It says in verse number 37, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The harvest truly is plenteous. The idea of harvest would definitely have it bear with it the desire of the word plenteous. Amen. When you think about in the Bible, Christ said there are some that that sowed tenfold and then 50-fold and some 100-fold. Guess who was more plenteous? The guy with 100-fold. I mean, the ones that reaped 100-fold. And when you go out, you say, "Well, we're going to go harvest, and I hope there's not much there. We're going to go out to the garden. I'm going to look and I'm going to go get some vegetables out of there. I hope nothing grew." No, come on. That's not the purpose for which anything was planted. In fact, the farmer goes forth to plant, and he puts the seed in the ground, and he tills the ground, and he tends to the ground, and he does all the work involved in it, and he makes sure there's water, and he makes sure that the birds are away from the ground, and he does all that work, and it's not just so that he's hoping that he just has very very meager fare by which he might be able to scrape by for the rest of the season. No, he's hoping for a bumper crop. When any farmer puts it in the ground, they just don't go, "Man, I hope there's all sorts of pestilence, and I hope there's all sorts of bad weather, and I hope it's just a scorching summer, and I hope my whole crop just comes to naught." That's not the mentality of a farmer. That's not the mentality of anybody that's actually planted something in the ground. No. It's planted with the expectation. It's planted with the desire. It's planted with a hope that listen, at the end of the time of the grow season, when it comes time for harvest, that it's going to be plenteous. That it's not just going to be just enough to scrape by, but it's going to be a large amount. That's the word, plenteous. Large amount, copious amount, plentiful, sufficient for every purpose as a plenteous supply of provisions. That's what they're going for. In the time when I was growing up, they were just starting to get into the idea where every year you buy your genetically altered seed. That was when I was a little kid, and I think there's plenty of health issues that go along with that. But understand with me, when I was still a kid, we would harvest the wheat that was in the field, and a portion of it would go back into the would go to the co-op, and they would be sold for paying for the provision. So that there'd be money to survive throughout the winter months, and there'd be money to be able to spend on new equipment, those kind of things. But the reality was this: there was always a portion of the harvest that went back into the silo and sat there and wait and in ready, because next year we got to do it all over again. Next year. So understanding, just having enough. I mean, if we just got to a place where we said, "Listen, all we have is enough for next year's crop," then listen, we're forced to make a decision. Are we even going to try to plant next year's crop, or are we going to just try to live this year? And understand with me, as God looked at this multitude that was in need of a shepherd, they were in need of leading, he looks at them and he likens them into a plenteous crop that it's there for the taking. It's a very good harvest that could be had, but there's one problem. There's one hurdle that we have to overcome. We do not have the laborers. That's all we have. That's our only problem. It's a great crop. It's there. It's ready. It's the Lord's crop. Amen. And the problem is this: there are not enough laborers. And the instruction that's given unto you and I is this, that we are to pray the Lord of the harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest. We understand the idea of the Lord of the harvest being that it belongs to Him. That He's desirous that people would labor in His field. That His desire is that we would realize the need of ministering unto and for Him. He's the Lord of the harvest, meaning that He is in supreme authority. He's the controller of the harvest. My job is to get out and labor among, labor in the field and bring in a harvest, and not for me, but for Him. The call of Matthew in chapter 9 in verse number 37 and 38 is that of ministers being needed. That there is a plenteous harvest in which there are more laborers that are needed to get out and minister unto the need. And certainly, friend, you do not have to look far to find need or people in need. And at the end of the day, no matter what their situation, no matter what their circumstance, no matter what the problem is they're facing, the only one that can meet their need is the Lord of the harvest. The same one that's calling us into the ministry, the same one that's calling us into the field for the harvest, is the one that has the ability to meet the need of the harvest. He desires that that we would pray for laborers. The question tonight, though, as we look at these verses, is do we see a need? Do you personally see a need? And if we see a need, then the reality is that our response is to be one of prayer. That's our response. Our response is supposed to be one that is not without our ability to respond to. There's no one here, it doesn't matter how young or how old you are, that cannot respond to the need that Jesus is making His disciples aware of. And therefore, listen, that also means that there is no one here, yet young or old, that is exempt from the opportunity to be a laborer in the field and be a laborer for the Lord of the harvest. Everyone has an opportunity, because the call, listen, the call is for you and I to stop and to pray for laborers. I'm telling you, I get to have a part in this. I can't do anything about making a crop grow. I can't. I can do everything I want to, but at the end of the day, I'm telling you, I'll never be able to make a seed grow out of the ground. That's entirely a God thing. That's entirely a work of the Lord. I'll never be able to make sure that there's the amount of fruit produced that I desire. But I'm telling you, the Lord of the harvest, who is God of all, has a great ability to do that miraculous work. But what He's calling us to is pray. They're to pray the Lord of the harvest. Do we see the need? And if we see the need, we understand that there's a need that every one of us can meet. I can pray. I'm telling you, there are things that I am inept at doing. If it said, listen, what God needs each and every one of us to do is a backflip on my best day in the best shape that I've ever been in my life, I'd never be able to just do a standing backflip. I can't do that. If God said, listen, what we need you to do is you're gonna have to circumvent the earth in a sailboat and you're gonna have to fly under your own power, and you're gonna have to do, you come up with some of the craziest things that we all say, you know what, these are things that are outside my ability to do. I can't accomplish that. I'm telling you, but anywhere and everywhere and everyone can stop and take time to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into His harvest. That is something anybody could do. No one is exempt, and no one is without power, except one does not see the need. Does not heed the call of the Lord of the harvest for prayer. Prayer is an activity anyone can participate in. It's an activity anyone can participate in. Prayer should, when we think about the need of prayer, we'd understand just quickly two things. Prayer should cause one to be aware of the need. So what are we praying for specifically? We come on Wednesday night, we take up prayer requests, and we are praying for specific things. We're making our petitions known, and we're asking our brothers and sisters in Christ to bear these burdens with us, to pray for our need. And when we come to prayer, it should cause one, when we say, all right, we're going to stop and we're going to pray, we should be praying for that specific need. And when we look in these verses, there's a specific need that we are called to pray for. And the need is laborers. The need is laborers. The wheat can sit out there. The crop can sit out there. The corn can sit out there. Whatever crop it might be, these multitudes can sit out there and not be brought unto the Lord of the harvest, and not be brought into the fold, and not be gathered unto Him. Or laborers can go out and begin the work that needs to be done. Harvest isn't an easy thing. Harvest sometimes can be a very hectic time. Harvest sometimes, can be the greatest labor of the year. But I'm telling you, harvest is always when a harvest is plenteous, it is always joyous. I'm telling you, there's not one farmer that ever just said, oh my goodness, we have too much. We have this huge problem. We have too much. There's more than we need. There's more than we would ever even want. It's plenteous. There's never been a farmer on the face of this earth that's ever cried and moaned and groaned because there was too much. Because it's just too plenteous. And I'm telling you, the prayer that we're praying is that there is not that whether or not the crop's going to grow, the crop's there. It's not a prayer for to be blessed. It's obviously it's plenteous. It's already blessed. The prayer that we're praying, though, is that laborers would go forth and get the crop from the field and get it into the barn and get it into the possession of the Lord of the harvest. And if it's left out in the field, understand with me, it's going to lose its value. It's going to get to a place to where it's going to be destroyed by the elements of this world. And that's the condition of every man's soul if they do not get brought to the Lord of the harvest and placed in His possession. Listen, we understand the eternal damnation that awaits those that are left in the field. So prayer should cause us to be aware of the need. The need is laborers. And secondly, tonight, prayer should motivate one to action. Prayer should motivate one to action. It just should. If I'm praying for someone, if I'm praying for something, I'm going to be concerned about the condition of that someone, and I'm going to be concerned about the something that I'm praying about being accomplished. No, I'm telling you, we're to pray for laborers, but the reality is this, as God calls the prayer for laborers, and anyone can do that, I want you to understand, it should motivate us to understand and to reach a point that, wait a second, I'm the laborer. No, I'm to be praying for laborers. I'm to be praying for someone to get out there and work. And I'm praying for the Lord of the harvest to send forth these laborers, but it should motivate us to action. And it should motivate us to put what they call feet to our prayers. Amen? That we would realize that I could just sit here all day praying, or I could get out in the field. And I can actually go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, that I might be able to bring my sheaves again with me. I should be motivated by my prayer. If I'm truly going unto the Lord of the harvest in prayer, hell, would you please send forth a laborer? Would you please send forth a laborer? I'm telling you, we would understand that the Lord of the harvest would sit right, look right back at us and say at each and every one of us, no matter how young or how old, and He would say, okay, what about you? What about you? And many times, listen, we can be so guilty of expecting that God's going to send someone else to do a job when I'm telling you, God wants to send you into the harvest field of Bellingham, Washington, into the harvest field of Whatcom County. God wants to, listen, the Lord of the harvest, yes, I need to pray for laborers that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers, because understand with me, it's the Lord of a harvest that equips the laborers. It's the Lord of the harvest that is able to guide the laborers. It's the Lord of the harvest that controls where the laborer goes. And I'm telling you, the Lord of the harvest is very much capable of doing all those things. But he's going to need laborers that are willing to go when he calls. And I'm telling you, as we pray, it should motivate us to realize that I'm more than just a prayer warrior about this thing. I'm also a co-laborer with the Lord of the harvest. I'm a co-laborer with the Lord of a harvest, and the Lord is sending me out into a plenteous harvest. Now, I understand this. Sometimes we can stop and say, "Well, man, we're not seeing the results, and we're not seeing what we want." But I want you to understand, God's word is not misunderstood. And listen, and God's word is not wrong here. I'm telling you, our harvest is plenteous. It is. The problem is we've got to be laborers. Harvest is used, listen, to meet the need of today. That's definitely what harvest is used for. That we have needs for today. We have food we need for tomorrow, and therefore the harvest must be brought in. It's used to meet the needs of today, and it is the hope of next year. It is the hope of the future. It is. And while we might say, man, we just seem like we're laboring and we're getting nowhere, let us ask this question. Has God met our need for today?
Yes.
Yes, hasn't he? I mean, so it might, you say, well, I don't think the crop's very plenteous. No, I don't care what you think. God said it's plenteous.
Yes.
And it's plenteous enough that we know this, that my goodness, God has more than met our need. It's just amazing to see what God's done even in this, what we'd see, I guess I would say, is a down year. But I'm telling you, it's been amazing to watch not just how God has blessed our family in this down year. Amen. It's been amazing to watch how God's blessed all the families of this church and what we would look at and go, man, this is a down year. Man, it's so down that God's just richly blessed, hasn't he?
Amen.
Man, it's just a really down year. And I'm telling you, the harvest is always plenteous. You know, if we were sitting around and going, man, we don't have enough money for rent. We don't know where the next meal's coming from. And we just don't know where we're going to keep the lights on. Then we could start arguing about, what are you talking about, a plenteous harvest? But listen, God's already met the need for today and tomorrow. That's very much taken care of right now. I don't know anybody in this room or associated with this church who would be in that condition at all. And as we know, God's met the need for the day. Listen, we also understand that as we are partner in prayer and in laboring in the harvest, guess what? God also meets the need of the future. If we're just set on what we have and just go, now we got enough and we're just done laboring. No. The harvest is not just about today and about the needs of today. The harvest is always about the meeting the need of the future. Now, it's just a reality that by means of attrition, people come and go within a church. It is. And that's never, I mean, it's never a good thing. And I really, some people are like, no, it's a good thing they finally left. That's, no. If somebody left under that kind of circumstances, that's a shame that they didn't get right with God before they left.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, it's a shame if they left under bad circumstances. But the reality is that listen, I'm not going to be alive forever if the Lord doesn't come. And neither are you. You're not. And so the need is that we would go forth with a laboring, that we would reach those that are still yet to be brought in from the field so that they can meet the need of the future and be tomorrow's laborers. Why is it so important that we have kids ministry? Why are camps so important? Why are Sunday school important and light brigade so important? And you know why? Because those kids are the stuff the future's made of.
Yeah.
And the people yet unreached out there are the stuff the future is yet made of. And listen to me, the harvest is plenteous. God's met the need of today. And God has the ability, if we'll be laborers, to meet the need of the future.
Amen.
But it's going to start with us on our knees in prayer. That prayer turns into a burden. That burden turns into motivation to cause us to go and to reach those who are left in the field. Friend, the harvest is plenteous. It's plenteous. Our God, I'm telling you, has been manifold many times over, good unto Bellingham Baptist Church, good unto me as an individual. I'm telling you, He has. We need to be busy in prayer that the Lord of the harvest might be able to use us to be able to be a part of the harvest being brought in, so that the needs of today and tomorrow will be met, continue to be met, and so the need of the future will never go unmet. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed this evening.